Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the build-up show. Liverpool travel to Wolverhampton Wanderers on Friday night. What a game in prospect. Chris, Laura and Ben join me for this one. Chris, it is the last game before Christmas. If we want to be top at Christmas, go and win this game.
Yeah, pretty much. I think, do we want to be top at Christmas?
Well, we're the only team in Premier League history to be top at Christmas and not win the league, and we've done that twice. So it means nothing. And it's hampered, of course, that whole thing by the fact that you're meant to be comfortably clear at this stage of the season. A lot of the teams that win the league are normally in decent shape at this point. It's going to be tight regardless. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, if we want to win the league, you just got to win as many games of football as you possibly can, Chris. This is why people come here for this level
dynamite
of
dynamite analysis.
In-depth analysis here. Look, this is it. We've come through a really, really tough set of fixtures. This is another really tough game, to be fair.
Yeah, one of those games where there's a fear of the unknown with Wolves for me still. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen them play well this season. I've seen them get results against some big sides and I've seen them play very well, but I haven't seen Liverpool play them, so I don't know how we're going to face off against this Wolves side. Yeah. So they scare me more than most of the sides in the league because of that, because, mm-hmm. You can look at players and go, oh, I know how good he is and I know how good he is. I've seen them come to Anfield a few times and he's been dangerous and all that. Whereas you still look at Wolves and go, oh, what type of side are they? Are they going to be as good as they've been so far this season? Are we too good for them? There's still all those question marks there. Now, I think Liverpool are better than them. I think I know Liverpool are better than them. I think, you know, the huge gap in the league would suggest that. But in a one-off game of football against the side that Klopp's not come up against, you still have that fear, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And as mentioned there, Laura, they've surprised a few this season. They're in decent form. They've won the last three. They've taken points off Everton, City, United, Arsenal and beaten Chelsea along the way
this
season.
Yeah, they're on a bit of a good run, aren't they? But I don't fear them. I don't fear them for Friday. But Liverpool are on a better run. And I think
good point.
We're the informed side in Europe, apparently.
Yeah, I just think that Liverpool will just be going into this now thinking, you know, it's coming up to Christmas. Let's just get the job done now and, you know, go away and have Christmas. So I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, it's all these things, Ben. I think there's a notion. If I'd not looked at the league table, I'm aware that Wolves are having a decent run, but seventh in the league, they fully deserve to be where they are. They're in that little clutch of teams that are not going to crack the top four this season, but could well, you know, with the right win behind them, could well break into Europe for next season. They've invested heavily. They've got some fantastic footballers in there as well. Their fans are on a real crest of a wave. I would much rather have this game at Anfield is kind of what I'm driving at. Having to go away there, we've not been in a little while with all of those things around it. With it being Christmas, it being a Friday night game, they're going to be bang up for this one.
Yeah, I mean, we play these guys at home on the last day of the season, so I think I'd rather be playing at home at Anfield potentially on the last day of the season.
True enough.
I'm looking at it with that mindset. Yeah, they've been great. A lot of people, I think this was a prediction of some people, you know, the amount that they invested in, they kind of, I don't know if they ran away with the Championship last season, but they won it quite comfortably. They were always going to come up, and I think that some of the players, they've got some real Portuguese international players in the squad who were playing in the Championship last season. They were, you know, they've always been a Premier League standard team, so they've come up, and this isn't a surprise. Many people have been a bit inconsistent. It's great to see Connor Cody at the back leading, and being captain, and you know he's really grown as a player. I'm sure the winning the championship and now getting Premier League experience as well is really helping him. But one of the key things about this game for me is that this is where City have dropped points.
Yeah.
And if you're going to win the league, obviously when you're matching our form up against where City are dropping points, mm-hmm. so we drop points at Arsenal where they won. Yeah. So if we win here, that's kind of 2 points. That 2 points made back up,
yeah.
and that for me is why it's such a key game.
You're right. We've had a lot of those over the years, Chris, where we've dropped points to teams, and in isolation, we're really disappointed with them. In the context of the season, like Watford last season, a good example of this, we dropped points first game of the season to them. They actually took points off a number of top six rivals. I think Ben's point is excellent. There is that we should be looking to better Man City's results in these kind of games, and as you say, and in fact, all of that again, all rivals. Chelsea lost to them. That should give you all the concern that you need for that, but also a big opportunity, as Ben says, to give us a bit of a lift as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this fixture will be looked at. We always look at the rival fixtures every week, and fans of the other clubs will be looking at this thinking, Wolves is a bit of a banana skin for Liverpool, yeah. And there's no better way than to kill someone's hope by just brushing a banana skin aside. How many times has it happened to us over the year? We think, oh, they can get a result, and then City walk them.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, fuck. Misplaced hope there, wasn't it? You know yeah. what I mean? And that can suck the life out of you as an opposition fan. If you're a Manchester City fan, you see Liverpool go on the Friday and maybe push Wolves to one side, and you think, they're just not dropping points, these pricks.
Well, that's the thing. We will be, what the real impetus for us is, and again, keep coming down to this. I want us to put on these big, heavy performances where we win by loads of goals, blah, 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 blah. Liverpool just need to go and get the 3 points. Put a 4 point gap between us and Man City, and then go and do what you can do, knowing full well that like they won't have that. They'll have what we've had for a number of weeks. They won't even have that taste like they had like this weekend, where they get to go top and they get to go ha ha. But this is us. This is on us to put all the pressure on them. One thing I thought was really interesting, Chris, I'd read that they were the least rotated side in the Premier League. I had a quick look into it. I think 10 of their squad have played in 16 or more of the league games. And something like five, I think five of them have played in every game this season. The vast majority of their, the larger keep a very settled side. And you've talked about this a lot, about how when you get into this part, yes, Liverpool, the games come thick and fast for Liverpool, but they come thick and fast for teams that are far less capable. Just to put that in context. Yeah, we've only five of our squad have played in 16 or more of the league games so far this season.
That's it, isn't it? You get to this part of the season and they're looking at it, they'll be playing like Boxing Day as well, or maybe the day after that, I'm not sure on the dates and stuff. And they've got to manage their rotation, if they are indeed rotating. It doesn't look like they are. And they'll be thinking, oh, something's got to give here, because our lads have played in, 10 of them have played in 16 games. Do you maybe rest a couple for the Liverpool game, thinking, are we going to get 3 points here? Or do we have the entire
squad?
Makes
you wonder what their ambition is, and exactly. I think we'll know, won't we? Because whether, Lord, they go, they're just going to go and blitz, go full strength as often as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And if the legs fall off, then at least they'll be safe from relegation by that point, and they'll see where it kind of lines up. But you're right, there is a fact that they could change here.
You do look at that. You look at the teams that have come up and done well over the years. You know, the first one that I seem to remember, we talk about a lot, is the Blackpool side that came up. Mm. They were really close to the top of the league come Christmas, but then tailed off afterwards, or maybe it was slightly before Christmas. You think of Watford over the last couple of years, Watford have done it. This is the time when their squads start to make a difference, their small squad size. They just don't have the players to be able to keep going throughout the Christmas period. And hopefully Liverpool, with our rotation, with the form that we're in, we can just go, no, it's fine, lads. We'll just go out. We'll play the game that we're playing. There's lots of lads in our team who haven't played a lot of football so far. Shaqiri, for one, Fabinho, Naby Keita, Nathaniel Klein, all players that you'd maybe expect to start in this game. Four players there that haven't had a lot of minutes, whereas everyone on Wolves is going in there, and the bar's almost, it's getting to full. You know what I mean? Or it's getting so empty, sorry. They're getting tired, and now they come up against the best side in the league.
Mm. Yeah.
And those players are arguably in our strongest team as well. Fabinho and Kate in particular, when they're firing, that, you know, when we get towards the back end of the season, Kate is going to go up a level eventually. I think that's inevitable. And then Fabinho's really starting to show now how good he can be. Those are arguably part of our strongest team. So when they play on Friday night, which I expect them both to, That's improving our team, and they haven't played the minutes like
well,
you said.
Look what we did last week, Laura, where we played the midfield. We played Henderson, Milner, Wijnaldum in midweek against Napoli, and then obviously Wijnaldum stays in for the weekend. Yeah. But we bring in Fabinho and Keita. We've got the ability to actually make changes in the engine room with this side. As Chris says, we've got lads who've got who haven't played a lot of football, and that should be what stands us in the best stead for this.
It should
one.
Be, yeah, and I think the fans have got the confidence in our rotation now as well. You know, we can put a squad out and we look at it and go, yeah, quite confident with that now, even though it's quite big changes from week to week. So, yeah, I'm feeling confident with it.
What's your thoughts on Klein? I mean, we talked about we were all very, very impressed with his performance against Man United.
And I would like to see him in the squad. I'd like to see him in the squad on Friday. Just keep him in there. He's had a great game. Keep him in and see if he can build up a little bit of consistency in a couple of games under his belt. So,
I mean, this is the thing we had with, let's use Joe Matip as a recent example of this. You know, a few games, a few performances on the bounce. He went from being, we were like, we're not really sure about him, to being, okay, yeah, we were confident. No one, and this is might be, I'm edging back into disrespect towards Klein, I don't mean it at all, is that we've forgotten maybe a little bit of how good Klein can be. And no one's saying that he's got the final ball of a Trent Alexander-Arnold, or maybe has the all-round playing at the height and head and ability, etc., that Gomez brings the right-back. But this is a bloody good right-back that we've got.
Yeah.
And we might just find a few games under his belt here. He set himself up, and my God, we actually could really do with that happening as well, given the injury problems.
And it's Wolves, you know, it's not. We might have felt a little bit different if we were going into a game against, you know, one of the teams in the top four, but it's Wolves, and I think that we should keep him in there and try and see how it goes now.
The only possible thing, caveat to this, Ben, and is in Klein's limitation, is that we know that his end product isn't quite, you know, what we hoping for in terms of how we use our fullbacks a lot. Like I was encouraged by Milner in against Bournemouth. I said it on here, I don't think he had a great game against Bournemouth. I thought he was fine for a lad who'd not played a game at right back in 9 years. Klein's been out for a while, but it's not quite that long. I wonder what's a better approach to this, because I am totally assured by having Milner in a general sense. I am totally assured by having Klein in so much as I don't feel like they'll cause him problems, because nothing else. He's got the pace to go up against pretty much everyone as well. It's just, will this be a game where we need to be firing on all cylinders going forward? And might that be, if you had a toss-up and we don't know how fit Milner is, where Milner's ability on the wing might be preferable to
potentially try. But I kind of take confidence from how good we are on the other side. So obviously Robertson's going to be fit, and Robertson was so good yesterday against United. He was great against Napoli. He's just putting in 9s and 10s pretty much every time he plays, and that gives me confidence. I think we'll go on to team selection. I think Newcastle is the game to rotate, because we've got Arsenal a few days later. So I think he'll stick as close as he can to yesterday's team on Friday. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I think he'll stick with Klein, because then that'll give Milner a few more days to get himself fully fit. Mm-hmm. And Milner will come in for Newcastle. Whether that's at right back, we might have Trent by then back available, or in midfield. I think he'll look to do that.
I suppose you make a good point about the rotation thing, because there's a case to be made, Chris, where get the lads who understand the Boxing Day footy thing in as well, to some extent, if you can. So you could maybe, you know, you could go get your new lads in for, you could get your new lads in for this one. Have they ever really had to experience playing a game of footy on a Boxing Day? No, is the obvious answer to that. If you've got people available to you, you could go back to your more, what we would call our more functional midfield, perhaps.
You could do. I think I look at the Nathaniel Klein thing, and I think about how Wolves are going to play against us, and I don't think they're a side that are going to sit back at home and just play low block. And therefore, I don't think Klein's limitations going forward will limit us in any way, because I think they'll push out onto us. And then it's just about, are our attackers better than their defenders? And there ain't many teams in world football that our attackers aren't better than their defenders are. Mm-hmm. So you look at it and you're thinking to yourself, can Liverpool counter-attack Wolves a little bit? Maybe they can.
Yeah.
You know, Wolves are going to be pushing out. They like to spray the ball. They like to counter you themselves. And therefore, Klein's, we talk about him like he's, you know, he doesn't whip a great ball in. It's not that he whips a shit ball in. And it's not that Trent's got 10 assists this season either, let's just say. You know, Trent's got a couple of assists, but they're not whipped crosses in. It's one of them. Nathaniel Klein's not a bad player.
No, not at all, I mean, the big thing about him is how much he's gotten through that last game on adrenaline. Now, it is a reasonable gap of course, from Sunday to Friday, which is fine, but how is he, is his body capable? We do have to be careful because we don't know how long Trent's going to be out for. You know, we were told a couple of weeks. I've heard it's a bit longer than that, and we're kind of keeping it, you know, under wraps. We don't know what the truth is, of course, that. We know we're not going to have Gomez till the back end of the January, of course. You're then looking at Camacho as an option. It could still be an option today, one none of us has considered.
Still could be Fabinho as well. Yeah. You throw Henderson and Wijnaldum in the centre of the park, or Henderson and Keita, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But this is the thing with the client situation. We've gotten loads better at managing players and managing their health, and there's no need. I think Klein should be made up with the performance against Man United, and I think Klopp will be encouraged. We should all be happy that we've got a player of his calibre as our third choice right back. My God, if he's not right for this one, I'd much rather. We're going to need him in the next month, I think. So, you know, you don't want to do anything that jeopardises that, because I don't think Klopp would ever choose to put Fabinho right back, given the work he's doing to get him into midfield. It means we're in the midst of an absolute crisis if we're having to put him at right back, which again, Brazilian international right back is not too bad again, but. We do need to be careful with this one. Right, we're going to do preferred 11s in a moment. Before I do, we've got a little advert for you. We've mentioned it a couple of times, but it's the last shout for this. We've got the Redmen TV Christmas Hamper competition running right now. It is last chance saloon to get involved with this. Here is what is in the package.
It's that time of year again for all our wonderful subscribers on the RedmenTV.com. It is the Christmas Hamper Competition, chock full of Redmen TV Christmas sweatshirt, scarves, a Pro Evolution Soccer game, a Kevin Keegan book, signed print, and a whole hell of a lot more. All you've got to do to be in with a chance of winning that is sign up to the RedmenTV.com. It's available to new and existing subscribers alike. And in addition to that, of course, you get amazing content the whole year through.
Yes. But all you've got to do is sign up to the RedmenTV.com. Obviously, we showed you Freeview Week last week, where you got to have a little glimpse behind the curtain of the kind of stuff that we're doing, final word shows, video content, podcast content that you can get directly into your native podcast app as well, so you can listen to it on the go. Phenomenal stuff. I do have to say it, but also I don't have to be so vociferous in it. If I thought it was crap, I'd just be like, yeah, and it's a thing that we do. It's a brilliant thing that we do. So much stuff, so much value, and again, so much coverage from you know, the likes of us. Just fans, you know, putting a lot of time and effort and a surprising amount of production quality at times as well. So, do go check that out. And as I say, every one of our subscribers is automatically entered into that competition. So if you're on the fence, you think, oh, I need just one more thing that tips me over. Yeah, if you sign up now, you can enter into that competition and win that fantastic hamper. Right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Preferred 11 time. Ben, I'll start with you. pardon me. You've got, as mentioned, you've kept Klein in there, Fabinho, Gini midfield, and you've gone back to 4-2-3-1 Bobby in the 10.
Yeah, I think it worked. I think he's doing that against the smaller teams, mm-hmm. that you know, in the league, in air quotes, because I don't want that to come back and bite me.
Yes.
But you know, I think Shaqiri. How can you not start Shaqiri after Sunday? You know what I mean? You've got to. He's just doing everything he can off the bench, and I think you could tell he did. I don't know whether you guys want to saw. He did an interview with Jamie Carragher after the game on Sky, and you know he was asked about it. He was going, "You know, the manager picks all that. Your stock answer, but you can kind of tell he's desperate to get on the pitch more." Yeah. And I think after this, I think after Sunday and what he did for us, I think you've got to work him in there somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Laura, you've basically gone with we had some deliberation
can,
over this.
I can see the point with Shaqiri, I really can.
But
yeah, I just
fuck him.
Yeah, no. I'm his biggest fan, I really am. I don't think he'd be that upset if he doesn't start.
I think it's worth considering, as we've mentioned, I think this and Newcastle come as a pair.
Yeah.
I think if you're not starting this game, you're definitely starting the Newcastle game. And obviously, we've got a tight turnaround and all this stuff, so we might have time to discuss this stuff prior to Newcastle. But you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain played a massive role in that game. We need Rafa's frustrated us a lot. We might need Shaqiri more for that game than maybe we need him for this game.
I think, like, as a whole, we need him. It's just, you know, it's a nice little headache to have, really. Do we put him in? Do we not put him in? Or you know, and I just think,
how have you set the team up? What's your preferred 11?
Similar to the weekend we just had yesterday, I know I've named it as a 4-3-3, but I can't really put my finger on what formation we were playing yesterday, to be honest.
You've gone for Mane again on the right hand side.
He looked good ahead of Kleino, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
I liked him popping up there. I mean, he gets a goal.
I'm not sure how much of that was down to United. He had so much space midfield, and United, Lindelof was being dragged all over. I'm not quite sure. I'm aware you've already done all the discussion on the Man United stuff, but I'm not quite sure how much. You know, if Wolves choose to attack us a bit more, then yeah, they might get a bit of. We might get that same bit of joy, but
yeah.
I'm not sure that's going to be the case.
I think on
every
the counter, we're quite dangerous, and I think with that, with the front three, we. On the counter, we could nick an early goal, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
If they're going all out attack.
Very much a possibility. Chris, you've gone exactly the same as Ben.
Yeah, I'm all about getting Shaqiri in the side. I mean, the more Shaqiri, the happier I am as a man now. It's just it, like, you know what I mean? And but the reason that I've gone for that 4-2-3-1 is I believe our front four players, if we get them all on the pitch, we will win games of football all the time, because it's just so difficult. And I think, if you do have a slight concern that maybe Nathaniel Clyne can't get through another 90 minutes, then don't ask him to bomb up and down all day. Mm. Ask him to be a defender first in this game. As you mentioned, we've got to manage the squad. And that can sometimes be playing a fella, but saying, you don't have to work as hard as Robertson on that left-hand side, by the way.
Yeah.
You just slot in there, and ahead of you, you've got Shaqiri, you've got Firmino, you've got Mane, and you've got Salah. They'll do the business up front. If you need to change it after 60, change it after 60.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Like, I really...
Sturridge will be in line for a start here on Newcastle as well, by the way.
Yeah,
so wouldn't surprise me if
Sturridge's got a good goal record against Newcastle as well. For them.
And I'd, when I'm doing the starting 11 late in the week, I think Henderson's starting.
For me, I very nearly put Jordan Henderson into this, but I figure that Newcastle game means so much to him.
I think he'll
play that game definitely, and then I'm working it backwards from there. And that's been a lot of my thing. So I've gone 4-2-2-2, Gini and Fabinho as the midfield anchor two. I went Shaqiri and Mane in front of Bobby and Salah. It could just as easily be Keita instead of Shaqiri, though. That's the only other thing I'd maybe change for that one.
And then we just switch the wingers around again.
Potentially, like, I think what we've seen, and this is going on what we've seen so far, is that the United lineup totally threw us all, because we've not seen anything like that so far this season. We've played 4-2-3-1 at home a lot against so-called weaker sides, but away from home we've been playing 4-2-2-2, haven't we? So it wouldn't shock me to see us go back to that, and then it is just about the personnel. But it could easily be Henderson in the midfield. I've put Milner in at right back for this one, based on the kind of what I said about the attacking thing. As I think it's important. It's another one of those games where I think we need to just go and get this one.
We missed a corner taker actually against United, didn't we? You know, I think Andy Robertson's deliveries when he took them was mainly second half weren't great. Gino Wijnaldum took good deliveries, yeah, actually. Right, yeah. Four, I think he took about five corners, and four of them were really well whipped in balls. We just didn't manage to get a red shirt on the end of it. But that was the one thing, without Trent and without James Milner on your side, it felt like there was a big drop-off there.
For a, yeah, for a corner, didn't it? Every time it went out, everyone was sleeping.
Well, there was a moment where Salah ended up coming over.
Salah went to go on, yeah, I'll take this one. It never makes you feel like something's made to happen. When
I just don't like outswingers. I just don't like outswingers.
The success rate on that as well, of getting into the onto someone's head, is so low as well. I just don't rate them at all, no.
As a coach, we've talked about this a lot, but what preferable choice from corners? Just go short, or...?
I don't like a short corner, mate.
Just boom it in, swing it in, hope for the best.
Yeah, Van Dijk in there, like, you know, on his nut, yeah.
We've had so many people ask me over the last sort of day. I've had two emails and maybe three or four comments on one of the videos about why the Liverpool keep hitting the first man. Why do you think it is? Is it just that we're trying to get it, the ball in it, like a lowish trajectory? It's so risky almost that you're going to hit that first man more than you're not. It's one of those questions that baffles me. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, because every team does it. It's not just Liverpool. Yeah.
By all accounts, that's it, though, isn't it? That's exactly it. There's no point. You can't float them in because defenders will eat that alive all day. Particularly the Man United stuff. You know, there was that point second half, particularly when Fellaini and Matic, Van Dijk and Lovren were covered with guys who were either the same size or bigger than them. And so you just look at all you're open for. And you did a bit of this on the corners last season, I think. You're just hoping for anything at the front post. You're just hoping for one guy just to get any touch, just cause a bit of madness, something develops.
That was my job in 11 aside. I was the near post flick on man. I got a few assists from that, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
If you play in the grassroots game, you can't play short corners. The boggy pitches, the ball won't go anywhere. You've just got to swing it all in, get it in there, you know.
Smack it in, for the best. Let us know your preferred 11s then in the comments. Let's have a little look at the rival fixtures. And there's a lot this week because obviously the League Cup quarterfinals are on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. City travel to Leicester on Tuesday. Arsenal versus Spurs on Wednesday, and Chelsea Bournemouth as well on the Wednesday as well. Like, I mean, obviously, by the time people are watching this, most of these will have happened, of course, but I just think it's interesting. It was worth noting, particularly for City, just that fact that they've got that extra game to play. We're the Friday game, of course. Then Saturday, Arsenal hoax Burnley at 12:30, Chelsea hoax Leicester at 3 o'clock, City hoax Palace at 3, Cardiff hoax, I don't even know why I keep putting United on these.
I thought you were putting Cardiff on there, to be honest.
Absolutely. We're going to have to put more Everton and Wolves on these in future, aren't we? And Everton hoax Spurs, 4 o'clock on the Sunday as well.
Thank God we're not in that cup. Like, I know it was all a bit upsetting when we got knocked out, but imagine having another game to play. What a fucking ball like that would be.
Well, you're looking at it at the time, you say things like, where's Camacho going to get his game? Where's this and where's that? And now you're like, look at the injuries across the back line. Don't give me another game of football.
No,
just exactly. Played Milner right back last week.
No, but that's the thing, isn't it? You know, and I look at it particularly on the back of the World Cup, Ben, you know, players are struggling, teams are struggling with form and with fitness and what have you. And yeah, look, no denying that this side, and we'd all feel loads better about life if Liverpool could win some silverware. My God, the club needs it. But I also can't detach myself from that fact that I'm just looking at going, brilliant, 5 days, you know, between football matches, where it gives us time to prepare for. This is just the last chance to catch our breath, because you look at you're going into Wolves, Newcastle, Arsenal, City. And then into the FA Cup off the back of that.
And then around there, if you go through here, you've got the semi-finals of that as well.
Still two legs as well, the semi-finals.
So that would be just ridiculous. We've got another trip to Wolves, obviously, in the Cup on a Monday night. Thank God.
Yeah, and absolutely couldn't agree more. Anyone see any shocks coming this weekend?
United to beat Cardiff.
Yes. Well done. Someone had to do it. I'm glad you picked the bat on
for
that.
Get sacked.
Yeah, well, listen, if you don't do Cardiff, I don't know what he's got to do. Bless him. I think he's desperate to get sacked at this point. He just wants the payoff. Anything, Chris?
Arsenal Burnley is a draw.
Very, very distinct possibility. I wouldn't mind a little bit of. I hold no hope the Palace will do anything against Manchester City whatsoever. But a bit of Hodgy magic wouldn't go amiss.
Leicester could get something at Stamford Bridge. That's a possibility.
The last time there was Hodgson magic, it was like the 70s when he was managing in Sweden.
Yeah.
That's literally the last time anyone ever said
branch
that.
Of Curry's at Croydon at the time. Like. Brilliant, okay, cool. Score predictions then, Liverpool, Wolves, Ben, what do you think?
2-0 to Liverpool.
Laura?
Yeah, 2-0.
4-0 Liverpool, and I've been going quite conservative this season so far, but I reckon we closed the goal difference gap as well.
Ooh, okay, I'll take 3-0 to Liverpool. I've got this, like, I think it's going to be hard. I think it's going to be a lot harder work. I think it's going to be another tough one, but yeah.
Clean sheet though, we're all going with a clean sheet. Yeah. I think we're ready for a clean sheet on Friday.
Yeah, I'll have another clean sheet. Let's get
Alison
back into
will definitely swing. Be looking to keep a clean sheet on Friday.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be bang up for that. Okay, let us know your preferred 11s and your score predictions in the comments section.
Ruben Neves to hit a paramedic on the sidelines as well.
Why not? Why not, indeed. But yeah, I love Connor Cody. Great to see a former Liverpool player doing well for himself, but not this Friday, Connor. Not at all. You will not be welcomed back into the city. Yes, brilliant. Yes, don't forget, if you want more amazing content in and around every single Liverpool game, get over to redmentv.com and sign up. Give it as a Christmas gift. Why not? We'll see you there, if not before. Yes, we'll be here post-match, hopefully with first place at Christmas sewn up. Fingers crossed. Anyway, yeah, thank you. Drop a like on the video, subscribe to the YouTube channel in the meantime, and we'll see it all very, very soon. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.